Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, this is Brett the Birdman Burdick again, back here with the Birdman Podcast. That was Moth by Sacred, singer Vincent Black. Amazing song, and thank you for being here with me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So I have to begin by saying, as always, Plexus Worldwide, we are here designed to help you with achieve true multidimensional health. Shout out to you. I have to begin by, again, saying that that song was amazing. I love hearing that, along with some of the other Paper Cuts. I feel like listening to that song, and I told you that before the podcast, I said I could, on a summer night, be just staring at a fire and hearing that song, the way you sing it, the way you, the vocal, the way you're, you know, you're holding on to the sound throughout the course of that song. Great. It's well done. It's tremendous. So kudos to you.
Thank you. So, thank you.
Well, being involved in this, I guess we're going to take a step back and kind of just start from the beginning. How did you end up getting into music per se like this?
I grew up on the southwest side of Chicago, and we grew up listening to a lot of, you know, R&B and jazz and hip-hop and rap. But I always leaned more toward, like, blues and rock and things like that. But, I mean, I had a jazz teacher, a jazz instructor in grammar school, and he played piano. And one day I was in piano with him, and he was teaching chorus, or you kids call it choral now these days. I decided to just play on the keys and hum a melody, and he heard me. And I just, you know, from there, I found what I wanted to do. So
I can tell how that can get somebody's interest. I remember the first time I heard you sing, I think it's the pipes. It's how I sound with you. Man, you have a powerful delivery, and I don't know if I got to mention this to you before we started the podcast, but to me, you have that projection, that vocal delivery, sort of like a Daughtry. And I mean, where you can hear it, and you're like, man, you know, that's just something that just sounds powerful, and it fits with you, and especially with, like I said, that song. I mean, I'll never stop shutting up about that song, especially the way it sounds and carrying that note for a long key.
Thank you.
So you stopped Chicago. Now, I looked at a Shepherd Express article. I think it was from last year, where it kind of described the influence of 90s rock and grunge, if I'm correct.
Yeah,
reporting that.
Definitely.
Now, is that kind of where you look at the influences? And I think I saw Tool and Foo Fighters, for instance, in that article. Do you think those are the closer genre that made you feel like that's where you want to go with your music?
I mean, I think those are the genres that, like, inspired the power that I have and the delivery that I admire from, like, you know, like, singers like Maynard James Keenan from Tool, you know, A Perfect Circle, Lucifer. I mean, the late, great Chris Cornell, you know, rest in peace, Chris, you know. The Allman Brothers, Greg, I mean, like,
just today.
That's just today, unfortunately. You know, more just phenomenal musicians are leaving us. But yeah, definitely. You know, the powerful musicianship and the powerful thing when the vocal was, like, really used as an instrument. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the stuff that, you know, that, I mean.
And I saw your video at Turner Hall. When you did,
Whipping Post.
Whipping Post.
Yeah. When we did the Whipping Post.
And like that one, I'm like, the delivery too. I'm like, you don't half-ass it. Let's put it that way. There's no half-assing in your delivery or your vocals. It's all or nothing, and it's always all from what I see. So,
yeah.
How stressful is that to be able to have that as your status quo, so to speak, when you do perform? And then to have to always be on that delivery, is it exhausting? I mean,
it's not exhausting if you're not, you know, if you're taking care of your vocal, you know. I had some opera training at the conservatory, at the Wisconsin Conservatory.
Really?
And, you know, I was blessed to have that opportunity by way of some very close friend, a very close friend of mine, and that helped me a lot. Just improve delivery and sustainability and taking care of my vocal, because, you know, and then I've seen a vocal doctor, you know, I've seen an ENT pretty much just to make sure that my vocal's fine and my vocal cords are working well, and so they went through that whole process, too, before we actually did the EP.
Wow.
Before we did the EP, or during the beginning of doing the EP to make sure I'm okay, and to make sure, you know, like I'm, you know, worth the investment.
If that is not the epitome of preparation and maintenance, or the ability that you have, you sound very in touch with what you need to do to keep yourself at a performing level, and I commend you, because that's impressive to give yourself that much necessary attention and extra exposure, work, experiences and stuff to get you to where you need to be. So the band, it looks like this band has been around for Sacred has been around for roughly sort of a year, maybe a little bit more than
that. Like a year and a half now. Writing, leading up to this project for the past, the year before that, I left for a little while to pursue some career opportunities. And I was in a dark place at the time, and during those times of leaving for that little while, and what came about it was like Moth.
Hmm.
It came about that, and some other songs, and
you can tell there's emotional depth in the song too. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think that's part of where it resonates. That powerful, performance is you and we had talked about this with other artists. Is, you can listen to an artist and you can hear them sing something, but then you can hear somebody do the same song and deliver an emotional depth into it. And
yeah.
I think that's from where you're at, but that's something I had to also add to that song.
Yeah, I mean, I think my higher power, God every day, for allowing me to be able to do what I do, Yeah, it's a blessing, because it can be taken from you at any time.
True. And you see people lose, they have to cancel concerts because of laryngitis or HPV. And some of these things become a longer burden or hindrance than what they normally projected to be. So, you're right about that. You've got to still be fortunate and appreciative of it, but you also got to do your part.
Yeah. I mean, for anybody, it's always great, especially, as an investment in yourself to see, an ENT, like Jonathan Bach here, he's an ENT specialist over at, great guy. He also plays in a band called Bach and Flaus, I think. Great band. And he's an ENT doctor, and he's a great guy, and I got his stamp of approval. So,
back to the formulation of the band, how did you guys all come together? You guys were friends, right? From what I read.
So Gabriel Sanchez from The Print Experience, he was doing some open jams at Pottawatomie.
Ah.
And over at the, I think it was the Fireside or the Fireside Lounge or whatever the heck. And so I had been going there to play because I just been antsy to play because, people are just a lot of come and go with different people in different bands that I was in. And he introduced me to another individual. His name is Stelio. He's one of the owners at 5 o'clock Steakhouse. And
yeah.
Some of the best.
I've seen the Yelp review.
Yeah. Oh my God. Freaking great. Great people. Anyway, so from there, I met Stelio. We got together, and I was really able to connect with him and start developing. My ideas, because it's one thing to find someone that you can take an idea and they can listen to you and they can say, I know exactly what you're saying. And not only do that, but make it better, and be able to, put those points across when you're trying to write the song about whatever concept it may be.
Right. And I want to take a little excerpt from the article of the Shepherd Express, where, and this is, I believe, your words, where you state, the outside perspective we got when making the record was amazing. You go on to say it involves being honest with ourselves and taking tough criticism. We want to stay teachable, open to growing and developing. And that's exactly the same sentiment that you're referring to. It's this ability to always look for constant improvement.
Yeah.
And it looks like you guys did that even with the creation of the album. You went to, was it Kevin Arndt? And we went to Ted Jensen, both one's a producer, one's a master with music. And they had some words for you to kind of tell you, hey, this is what you need to work on, this is what you think, this is what you, you know, so on and so forth. So, I mean, you seem to have been very receptive towards all the people in their respective parts in the formulation of this ultimate album.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. One thing I've always done is listen to critique, you know. I can always be like, well, you know, forget you, you know, I don't agree with you, or fuck you, I don't agree with you, you know, excuse my language. But, when you sit down and critically think about, you know, whatever that part may be or whatever it requires, you know, it's always good to have that from other people to say, hey, you shouldn't hit that note. Hey, that's too much. It's a little exaggerated. And Gabriel Sanchez actually helped a lot other ways, too, in the studio.
And that was the drop.
He's a drummer, yeah. He's also the lead singer for and the creator of Gabriel Sanchez and the Prince Experience.
Okay.
So he plays Prince in the Prince band.
Okay.
And then he's currently on tour on the East Coast right now.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all working together and being able to take criticism. And like I said, to be teachable, I stand by that 100%, you know, always.
And, I mean, it's already speak volumes just based on the experience that you've had, that's evident. I mean, you look at your made mention tool, and it can see that throughout the progression of not only yourself as a musician, but in the process of what it takes outside of just your natural raw ability. You're learning from all the different angles, you know, this big machine of the music world, and saying, okay, you know, take, give, suggest, you know, you're doing all the necessary things in order to get the full grasp of it. You're well in your ways of being able to be successful, and that's great to still be that open to it.
Yeah.
I did want to let people know listening now. We're about halfway through the podcast, but I just want to say if you want to call in, feel free. There is a number you can call. It's 215-383-3749 if you want to call in and have any questions for Vincent Black. Are you okay if we do a live video in a little bit? Just a little Q&A. Are you up for that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We're going to get to that in a little bit. I just got a couple questions that I still wanted to ask you just personally because I felt like, and, you know, we'll save the big announcement towards the end.
Oh,
okay. Because I got to see the people bond and like everything that you're about to say because it's a great announcement. I was stoked when I got the behind the scenes dirt. So I guess to be one of the first people to know, and I'm happy about that. And but first thing is, I'd have to say, what music or what song did you create, experience you had, to be the best one that you felt you've had, and why?
I learned something, I guess, along the way of this. You know, like I. Everything, every song I put my heart into, I put my heart. And part of songs that I've written and I've written with other people, I really can't say that one is, like, better than the other or I love one more than the other because I've always learned to not fall in love with your own music and to continue creating. Because if like, for me, if I fall in love with one song and I say that's the song, that's the one that's going to be my thing,
right.
My song, my staple, then I feel like it's going to take away from me continuing to develop myself and create more, you know?
But even if you make a song, let's say it like Moth, and it is as nice and great as it sounds, does it ever get to a point where you're like, I don't want to play that for, like, the next week or something like that, or you kind of just like, I will always play this song?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, I don't just do it for myself. I do it for others as well, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, like, my emotional tie to it, you know, to Ma, I mean, you know,
Can you always go back to that place?
I can revisit that place.
See, that's the part where I think it's got to be difficult to do things. You're trying to, you know, restore that emotional depth into the song itself to still create the same effect that you're trying to come with it.
And yeah.
I think that's got to be a task in itself to do.
Well, I think, like, if I try to do it, you know, like, it's just, I don't think of it that way, you know. I just, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
No. Now I got to go to the opposite side here where I talk about probably your best experience. The one most challenging, like, thing that we'll always remember, like, man, that was a tough lesson or crazy experience. We'll put it in that same category. Like, give me one of the wildest experiences that you've had, whether it be, because you played at various places, and what would be one of the road stories that you could share with one of us without, you know, not getting in trouble?
I was in a band called Chandelier back when I was a.
I saw that
when I was a teenager, late teens. And we did a show down in Chicago.
Okay, I'm gonna go live here because I think this is worth people getting to speak to it. So, all right, we are live here with Vincent Black of Sacred. He is about to tell one secret about his band that he has never told anybody in the world. No.
So we go down to Chicago to do this show, and it's in this backyard, in the middle of the hood. In the wrong hood, not the hood I'm from, the wrong hood. And we get there with our gear, and we end up having this one half stack with two 12s in it with, like, two different inputs and a real crappy drum set. And we put the guitar in it, and we put a microphone in the other side of the monitor, and we literally played our songs in the middle of this backyard with, like, nobody there. So we get there, and then we go through the whole thing. We finish our four or five songs or whatever we had at the time.
Yeah.
We go out to the car, and the radiator blew on the car. So now we're stuck on this side of town. I had already moved back to Milwaukee, so I was living in Milwaukee at the time. And it gets late. We're trying to fix the car out in the middle of the street. And then all of a sudden, we go back to the party. We just couldn't get out of there. We were stuck. We were literally stuck. So we've got this guitarist with us at the time. I'm not going to mention any names. And we're walking back to my mother's house, who still lived in Chicago at the time. And the guy literally starts crying on our walk. And it was pretty crazy. So we had to deal with this guy crying, the car breaking down, and this guy crying and saying, leave me. I'm just going to sit here at this bus stop. Come back and get me later. We're like, no, dude, we got to fucking go. What are you doing? You can't leave you in the middle of the hood at a bus stop.
Yeah.
And, that's one thing. Okay, there, you got it out.
Yeah.
You got it out. We made it back to the house eventually. But it was a long walk. But
wow, that's a story and a half. Well,
sorry, dude. No. I didn't mean to put you out there.
No,
if you're watching this, you know who I'm talking about. Anyways, but yeah.
Well, I thank you for sharing that with us. I know it's a little bit more than probably people expected, but hey, you know, it's all good. So you guys have been working on the album, obviously, and you're also in the midst of doing a couple things this summer. I know you were talking about tomorrow you guys have an event coming up. Did you want to talk more about that event?
Yes. So we're going to be playing for the Dry Gooch and the Milwaukee's Homeless Veterans Initiative tomorrow at 5 o'clock Steakhouse on 24th and State. The event's from 12 to 4. You're going to see Charles Barber, Sam Guyton from Generation Z, Stories for Strangers, Killer Clowns, love Killer Clowns, love Stories, love No-No, and then Sacred. So you're going to see us there. We're going to be doing an acoustic set for you guys because we got a couple people out of town. I've been on tour, and he's on tour right now doing his other thing. So it's a $20 suggested donation. No one's turned away. Come on by and still check it out. There's going to be some classic cars and some rain. Don't worry, but it should be okay. We're going to rain dance for you.
Just if anybody has any questions, just go to video of you ever see that video of Goo Goo Dolls playing in the ring?
No,
in Buffalo.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Check that out. You'll see how.
I'm gonna have to take a look at it. So I love the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah. But well, that's tomorrow, and it seems like you're gonna have a jam packed group of people there for 12 to 4. That's
yeah. It looks like there's gonna be a pretty good turnout. A lot of people have RSVP'd, and we're looking forward to just having a good time. You know, we're gonna we've got a decent setup, and come on by. There's gonna be a taco truck there.
that's
and,
totally I'm good.
The $20 suggested donation also gives you a $20 gift certificate to 5 o'clock Steakhouse. So there's an ROI there. There's a return on your investment in coming and checking out some bands.
Now, you want to let them know about the big news?
We'll let them know in a minute. We'll let you guys know at the end of the podcast.
All right. Well, then I'm gonna stop the live video here, but we're gonna continue with the actual podcast. And so I guess the last couple questions I have kind of just go with where you would like to do work in the future. Do you see yourself wanting to be on the road more? Do you want to see yourself in these bigger venues, doing shows? I'm guessing that would be an obvious yes. What is it that you would like to see? I know I've talked to previous artists, and they were like, I'd like to, sell out this ring, or I'd like to play overseas. You know, what does Vincent Black aspire to want to do in the future?
My dream venue to play would be Austin City Limits.
Oh.
Which would be to do, like, a recorded performance on Austin City Limits. Like,
that's a great.
Like, that's my dream performance right there. That, and then I always had this cheesy thing for JVTV growing up as a kid.
Oh, okay. I love
you know, like, that was my thing when I was a kid. I loved watching JVTV. They used to record the episodes on VHS, and that was, that's another dream of mine, JVTV and definitely Austin City Limits.
And I think we talked about these other places, too, like you have Lollapalooza, you have Reading, you have Red Rocks, you have all these other places.
Yeah. Definitely getting to that point where I can go on tour and play those big venues like that. I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd love to play Red Rocks and Lolla, those are some staples there.
What would you tell anybody who's trying to come up in this music machine? Like, what would you tell them? Like,
words
of wisdom.
Words of wisdom that come
from the great Vincent Black.
So, I would say stay positive, stay persistent, stay open-minded, and be able to take criticism.
Okay.
You know?
We got 1 minute left. You got to let them know the news.
So check us out. Staker's going to be playing July 4th at Summerfest on the Briggs and Stratton stage.
Heard it right there, folks. They're going to be playing this summer.
Summerfest, July 4th, 12 to 1:30. Come and check us out at the Briggs and Stratton stage. We got a lot of stuff happening. June 26th. We're also going to be on WMSE, Live and Intimate. You're going to hear an acoustic performance from us on WMSE on the 26th of June. So keep a lookout from us. Check us out, sacred.band, www.sacred.band, and much love.
All right. Thank you very much for being a guest on this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
All right.